October 13th. It is now about 5 minutes after 11 in the evening. I'm talking to AMR paramedic at their Moody Court offices. Can you spell your last name for me? And again, you're a paramedic with AMR?
That's true.
How long have you been employed by AMR?
Approximately 2 months.
And is that the entire 3 month period been as a paramedic?
Yes.
Okay. What is your experience and training with EMS?
As far as paramedicine or EMT, all of it.
All of it.
Worked as an EMT in Santa Barbara for a year.
When was that?
That was the school year of 99-2000. And after I graduated from UCSB, because I worked on the ambulance there, I took a job as an EMT in the ER at Greater Valley Hospital. And I still work there. So that's been about 15 months now.
Okay.
And in the meantime, I went to paramedic school where I was working in the ER. And now I'm employed by AMR.
Have you ever been, or have you, in your training and experience, responded to a gunshot victim before?
Yes.
How many times?
In the field, once. In the ER, I've seen it maybe once.
Was that shooting victim in the field a law enforcement involved shooting, or?
Yes.
Okay. Where was that at?
That was Newberry Park, I believe, like Mitchell Hillcrest.
Okay, so the one recently. And that man has survived the wounds that he sustained in that shooting? Mm-hmm. Is that your understanding?
Yes.
You were on duty tonight? What time did you come on duty?
7 a.m. this morning, 13.
And what time are you off?
Tomorrow morning, 7 a.m.
And you're working a paramedic rig?
Yes.
Which one?
Rescue Ambulance 445.
And you have a partner?
Yes.
And that partner's
today is.
It changes?
My normal partner's out sick today.
Oh. Who's your normal partner? And he's off sick today?
That's right.
No. Okay. Excuse me. Sometime around 7 o'clock, a little thereafter this evening, did you get a call to respond to an incident on Flores at Montgomery?
Yes.
What was that call?
I came down as gunshot victim.
Okay. And you get that over the radio, or the phone?
Yeah, it actually comes over a little pager that we wear.
Okay. And that information is provided to you by fire dispatch?
Yes.
Okay. Were you given any other information from fire dispatch other than to respond to a gunshot victim?
Put the response to the gunshot victim and then the address, that page.
Okay. Standard.
And then they tell us who else is dispatched.
Okay. And who were you told? Do you recall who it was that was also dispatched?
Initially, I believe it was Engine 40 and ourselves. And then on the way there, I believe that Battalion Chief and EMS 4 were assigned to the call later while we were out.
Okay. And you responded from this facility?
Who? We did.
You did?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And on arrival, what did you see?
On arrival, I saw many police cars, an officer putting up crime scene tape. Initially, when I exited the vehicle, saw what appeared to be a victim or patient at the doorstep of the house on the corner of the streets that we were given as the location of the incident, with a firefighter there beginning treatment, and gathered our equipment and went towards him. That was just the initial impression.
Okay. And when you got to this victim, what did you see?
I saw him laying on his back just outside the doorstep of the residence, unconscious, unresponsive. He was with his hands behind his back, handcuffed, and what appeared to be multiple gunshot wounds to the chest, abdomen, arms, legs.
You saw puncture wounds to his arms?
Yeah, well, what appeared to be on the left arm, entrance and exit wound at about the elbow.
Okay. And the chest, stomach area?
Yeah, there was several in the chest, sort of, I don't know if you'll be able to describe the exact position, but penetrating trauma to the upper torso on the left side and also on the right side of the axillary, and some also to the stomach on the right side.
Okay.
Sort of early.
And were firefighters treating this man when you...
Yeah, I don't think that they had been there very long. I didn't hear them go on scene, but they were just initiating artificial ventilation for the patient.
Okay.
So they had determined he was also pulseless, not breathing, in addition to his unresponsiveness. And so they were initiating BLS CPR.
Okay. What did you do in terms of treatment to this patient?
I was instructed by the paramedic on scene who arrived first that they were having poor compliance with their ventilation efforts. The chest wasn't rising and falling, didn't feel like they were getting a lot of air into the lungs, and due to the penetrating chest trauma, he advised the patient would need bilateral needle thoracostomies, which is decompression of the chest. So I went ahead and listened to lung sounds and indeed confirmed they weren't moving a lot of air. So ran back to my rig, got the needle thoracostomy, kits. It comes in a prepackaged kit. Gave one to my partner, one to myself. And he proceeded to do the left side, and I did the right side.
Place these needles in this man's chest to relieve pressure?
Yeah.
Or
basically,
is
to, exactly, to get air inside collapsing the lung out so equalize pressure.
Okay. Did that seem to work?
It did, and it did seem to work. At the same time that we were performing that procedure, the paramedic that was there first was intubating the patient, and once they reattached the bag and began ventilations again, clear lung sounds, good movement of air, much better.
Okay. What other treatment did you provide to this patient?
I hooked the patient up on a cardiac monitor, confirmed that he was in a systole.
Which means
he had no cardiac output at all, electrical output.
Okay.
Flat line.
Okay. Did you see any other wounds or injury to this man other than what you told me about the gunshot wound?
Yeah, just the penetrating trauma. He seemed to have some kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't call it an abrasion, it wasn't really a laceration, but like an avulsion to the his left lower leg, anteriorly.
How severe was that injury?
It wasn't life-threatening.
Okay.
It was pretty deep, but it wasn't going to be a fatal injury or a limb-threatening injury.
Okay.
Yeah. And then the elbows, both sides, the arms, appeared to have some massive trauma. It wasn't,
externally,
know, clear cut, yeah. Yeah, they were open, you know, flesh wounds.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any idea how those injuries occurred?
Not really. They didn't look like clear cut. You know, I'm not a ballistics expert, but, you know, they didn't look like the other injuries on the chest, where it was a small, you know, hole.
And you were told that these puncturing wounds were caused by gunfire, gunshot wounds?
Not at that point, I was. Well, it came down as gunshot victim, and you know, here's the guy with penetrating chest trauma. That's
did they have the appearance of, based on your training and experience?
Based on what I've seen before, yes, I thought
they were gunshot wounds.
I had no reason to believe they were gunshot wounds.
Okay. This abrasion to the ankle area.
It was the shin. Yeah.
Or the shin. Was that as a result of, based on your experience and training, from a gunshot wound?
I can't really say. It didn't appear to look the same as that.
Okay. And did you notice or become aware of any other injuries to this gentleman?
Okay. I mean, there could have been all kinds of other injuries internally. I can't see that, but no.
Okay. You know, once you check the heart for electrical indications of electrical activity, what did you do then?
Well, at this point, two other paramedics from the squad appeared on the scene, and one of them took over starting to interview this line.
Tell them fire paramedic?
Yes.
Okay.
Starting to interview this line in the patient's neck, and began to administer drugs appropriate for treating an asystolic heart rhythm.
Okay. And what happened?
So at this time the patient was intubated. He had a line. He had the bilateral compressions, we called for a backboard, rolled the patient, placed him on the backboard, strapped him in, put him on the gurney, and loaded him into the ambulance.
Okay. Was there any other treatment administered that you're aware of, other than what you described to me?
Yeah, there was two more rounds of medications administered.
What medication was that?
Same medications. There were initially through the IV line, he was given epinephrine and atropine on scene, IV. Mm-hmm. And then I think just before we left the scene, again, IV, epinephrine and atropine.
And is that standard protocol for someone in this condition?
Yes.
Okay.
And then once in the back of the ambulance, we got another round of epinephrine and atropine down the ET tube.
Was this being done through in conjunction with communications from the hospital?
Yeah, while we were still on scene getting the patient packaged, there was base hospital contact made, and basically just a short report given to the hospital so they'd be forewarned that this patient was coming to them, and
so they could prepare
right
to treat him. Okay.
And we were instructed to just continue with our ACLS protocols, which includes those medications.
When you say AC?
ACLS, and that's cardiac life support. And that's what governs how we treat certain heart rhythms.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And you say that this person was unconscious when you arrived? Did this person regain consciousness?
No.
During any time while you were present?
No.
Okay. How long do you believe, and I assume that your company records will reflect these times more accurately, but how long do you believe you were at scene before you transported?
I called dispatch and we were there approximately 14 minutes.
Okay. And you transported to Los Robles Hospital? I understand driving,
yes.
And you were
in the back with the patient.
You know, who else was in the back with you?
It was
other than the patient.
Yeah, firefighter paramedic and firefighter paramedic. We continued the CPR and the artificial mouth.
So you continued to treat?
Sure.
Using these prescribed methods for someone in cardiac distress? Yeah. Okay. And when you got to the hospital, what happened?
We offloaded the patient and entered the ER where we were much anticipated, and we were directed into one of their trauma rooms, transferred the patient from our gurney onto the hospital gurney, gave a quick report. Each of us kind of chimed in with what we knew, what we had seen, what we had done.
Provided that information to whom?
To the ER physician as well as the nurses in the room. It was, you just start talking out loud, so whoever's in the room hears it. But I was speaking directly to the doctor. I think that, the nurse that was charting and prescribing was listening as well.
Okay. Do you recall who it was that was the treating physician?
I don't know. I would recognize him, but I don't know his name.
Don't know his name?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Did you provide any further treatment or assist in the treatment of this patient once he was placed in the trauma room?
I did continue chest compressions briefly after, you know, switching him to their gurney. And then another staff member, I have no idea if it's a nurse, a tech, whatever, took over for me.
Okay. Then what did you do?
Just kind of hung around, tried to get my equipment off of the patient. He still had our cardiac monitor leads on him, so I tried to recover our leads and just sort of hung around to see if they needed help or if I could tell them anything more. You know, just stayed in the room, but let them, you know, do their job and answer a few questions here and there for the doctor or the nurse.
Were you present when death was pronounced?
Yes.
Okay. And who was it, to your knowledge, that pronounced?
The ER physician.
Okay. I understand that you guys write reports to document your what you've done. Authoring a report together? Is that how that works? Or?
The way it works is that really, in some situations there's firefighter paramedics, and if they're on scene first, they're obviously in charge of patient care, and at some point during the call they can transfer patient care to the transporting AMR paramedics, and at that point we will fill out our own paperwork. It's called a PFR, pre-hospital field report. In this case, retained patient care, rode in, you know, continued to be in control, and so he will be documenting in this situation. His own PFR, we won't.
You guys won't be doing any report at all?
We do a trip ticket, which is just basically more of a billing form than it is an actual chart. It has a little bit of a narrative on it, and sometimes, and you know, equipment that we use, but it's not our actual report.
Me to believe that you guys would be a more detailed report than that. Has he spoken to you about that?
No, I'm not sure that he knows that patient care wasn't transferred.
Oh, okay.
That may be just
a communication issue.
Right. And okay. I think that, you know, if anybody wanted us to, we would absolutely write our own report. It just seems like a duplication.
Okay. Do you know still here?
Yes, that's his, I think. He was when I came up here.
Okay.
There's a phone. There's a phone. Hold on, sir.
Can you call him?
Yeah.
Find out if...
Do you want him to come up here? Do you want him to come up here?
No, you could just find out what his expectations are with you guys.
Okay.
Like I said, I think he was under a different understanding. While you were,
I actually did, the firefighter paramedics were working on their PFR at the hospital, and we kind of all, you know, discussed, because there was, you know, five medics at least on scene, and we were all performing a different procedure, and that of course needs to be documented on the PFR, and the team member that did it, and there's only a space for 3 signatures, and there was really at least 5 team members on this particular patient. So we talked about how they would document all 5 of our names, and I did sign their PFR, although I didn't, you know, I didn't write it, and my name won't be on the narrative, but I'm there as a team member.
Okay.
And so that, you know, my name will match up with the specific skills that I performed.
Okay. So they'll document what procedures you performed.
Yeah, there will be a separate delineation of each skill and who performed it.
Okay. All right. While you were at the scene, did you overhear anyone provide any kind of explanation about what happened?
No.
Do you have any understanding at all about what happened to this man?
No.
Nothing at all?
Other than I believe he was shot, I have no idea, really. I hear some speculation after the fact, but nobody, of course, knows.
Okay. What is it that you've heard?
Oh, I've heard that firefighters were cleared to enter, and then they heard or saw gunshots they believed to be coming from law enforcement. And then later on, I heard that possibly there was an altercation between this gentleman, the patient, and a female, and that she may have somehow been involved in inflicting the wounds. But there were, you know, no one acted like they had the facts. They just speculated.
These people that you heard were just kind of talking out loud about what they thought might have happened?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Are you aware of any other victims in this situation? Anyone else that received any kind of injury or trauma?
Not really. At one point when we were on scene, I heard way in the background, we have another patient that's needing medical attention over here. But it was around the corner inside of the house, and I heard nothing more.
You guys respond to that at all?
No.
You were focused on this gunshot witness? Okay.
And I heard nothing more about it.
Okay. Is there anything else that happened that you're aware of that we haven't discussed that you think would be important for me to hear about or know about?
No, I think that all went fairly well.
Any other issues or concerns that you have that we haven't discussed?
No, not personally.
Okay. And then I'll turn off the tape. It's now 11:30.